This is The Edge with Jonathan Von Tobel and Matt Eumanns on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into another edition of The Edge. It is a football Friday, and what a Friday we have in store for you. Chris Andrews, director of the South Point Sportsbook, is nice enough to grace us with his presence in person. He's going to be with us in studio 30 minutes from now. We'll get the bookmaker's perspective on the impending weekend of NFL action. The divisional round, the best round of the postseason, is upon us. Also, coming up momentarily, 15 minutes from now, Scott Kellen is going to be back in the fold, of course, his usual spot here on a Friday as we look at the entire weekend card with Scott, get some of his best bets for a lot of these matchups. Of course, we only got four, but we have a lot to look forward to in these contests. So with that, let's dive in. We'll talk about some of these line moves. There's been a little bit of movement here and there, some key line moves at that, some moves on the totals and some breaking news, if any, among these contests. We start at the top of the rotation, 301 and 302, Cincinnati and Tennessee. The Titans, 3.5-point favorite with a total of 47.5. For those who haven't been keeping track all week, Sunday night, when Humans and I were on opening lines, this thing opened up 2.5 at a majority of shops. Since got to 3.5, and it's pretty much stayed here all week long. You know, a lot of these numbers, whether it is the San Francisco game, the Rams game, Buffalo game, all of them have kind of altered, toggled back and forth between a couple of numbers. Not this one. It has been solidly 3.5 all week long. Gives you an idea of what the market believes is the right side here, and I would agree with that. Now, the news here is that Derrick Henry is going to start for the Tennessee Titans. Not sure what that really means in terms of his role for the game, right? Rumblings that he's probably not going to get a full snap load. It depends on how effective he is. Because remember, the Titans actually ran the ball relatively effectively without Derrick Henry when he was unavailable due to injury. So against a beat-up front that's down there starting defensive tackle and Ogunjobi, and a front that you can probably run against with or without Derrick Henry, I wouldn't be surprised to see Henry out there but then not getting a massive role, right? So it would be, as King Henry, I like it, this season, eight games, 219 carries, 937 yards, and 10 total touchdowns. It wouldn't be surprising to see him have a limited role here, which actually I think makes the prop market fascinating in terms of what you're looking at for him, because honestly, I would think playing these unders is the way to go with Derrick Henry, because I just think that they're going to be able to be effective without him, even if he's in there and getting the start, and maybe it's a ceremonial start for the most part, but then you roll with the guys who have been effective for you. But that is the news here. But for this matchup, to me, the focus is twofold, right? It's the Titans being able to run the ball. Offensively, I think A.J. Brown's going to have a really big game here against the Cincinnati Bengals in that secondary. But the other side of this is Tennessee's defense and taking on Joe Burrow. And one of the things that we discussed last week and one of the biggest issues for Joe Burrow in terms of playing quarterback has been being under pressure. But it's being under pressure when opponents are rushing three or four and not blitzing, right? You got to be able to pressure Joe Burrow without blitzing him. And that has been the bread and butter in terms of at least making him look his worst as a National Football League quarterback. Raiders actually got a little bit of pressure on him last week, right, in that loss on Wild Card Weekend. That's going to be the key for Tennessee. And the Tennessee Titans theoretically fit the profile, right, of a team that could bother Joe Burrow. They're actually bottom of the league, just like the Raiders are in terms of blitz rate. But the problem is, while the Raiders were bottom of the league in terms of blitz rate, 12.1% dead last, they were actually well into the top half of the league in terms of pressure rate, right? They actually had the lead leader in pressures, at least according to Pro Football Focus, in Max Crosby. They had another guy in Yannick Ngakoue who had over 60 pressures himself. So you were able to generate that pressure. The Titans don't really have that. And so that's going to be part of the problem is, well, if you're not generating pressure by just sending four guys, do you start to send a couple of extra guys and thus play into the hands of Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals? So ultimately, I think this actually has the makings of a potentially high-scoring game. You know, I do think that the Titans are pretty deliberate when it comes to the way that they execute their offense. I'm not surprised to see that this total has gone from 46 to 47.5. Kind of fits into the mold of what we're kind of going along here in terms of a vibe of thinking with this contest. But 3.5 with a total of 47.5. And I would not expect this to change much by the time we get to Saturday. We'll talk to Chris about that. There's one shop on the screen that has a 3.5 shaded to the favorite side at minus 115. So maybe on the verge of going to four. We'll see if that's going to be the case. But I would venture a guess that the public is going to see Joe Burrow, the Bengals, plus 160 against a Titans team that I don't think has a lot of respect by the betting public. and we'll be taking bites on that money line and supporting the Cincinnati Bengals at the window. So from there, we go to San Francisco and Green Bay. Green Bay, 5.5-point favorite with a total of 47.5. So this is the one I mentioned, right, just like a couple of these, where we saw this line just toggle back and forth. We got to as high as 6 with this one. We're back down to 5.5. It does look like when you're looking at the health of the San Francisco 49ers that the guys that are in question are poised to have Jimmy Garoppolo, Fred Warner, and Nick Bosa against the Green Bay Packers. That was reported yesterday. So looks like the 49ers are going to be at full strength. It's probably the reason why we saw this half-point adjustment. Also, some sharp support at the window for the San Francisco 49ers, it seems, when it got to that 6. So from a matchup perspective, the San Francisco side, they'll be able, I think, to operate offensively. Like, if this Green Bay team, throughout the years, the last 3 seasons, has had a very big issue in terms of stopping the run. If you look at it from, like, in a metric standpoint, like DVOA, for example, their run defense has been well into the bottom half of the league for this entire season. Right now, coming into this matchup, 22nd against the run, or excuse me, overall defensively, but 28th against the run, I should put it that way, for the Green Bay Packers. You know, I think they have an adequate pass rush up front, but after that, it's a front that can get pushed around. And by the way, has been pushed around by this very offense, the San Francisco 49ers, multiple times in these matchups, specifically in the postseason. Remember that NFC Championship game. So I think San Francisco is going to be able to score. If they're going to win, Jimmy Garoppolo's got to not be Jimmy Garoppolo and implode in the fourth quarter here. But on the flip side of this, this is a secondary in San Francisco that is susceptible to the big plays. We talked about the EPA per play on throws 10 yards or more downfield, how poor the San Francisco 49ers secondary has been, how Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to take his shots downfield, get those chunk plays. Both of these offenses are going to be able to, I think, operate at a relatively high level. And the market, too, thinks that way. It does seem that, you know, 47.5 are popping up, or excuse me, standing steady pretty much everywhere you're looking. Now, there is 147, 247s out there at relatively sharp books, right? Circa and Westgate. I'm really curious if this gets under that 47 mark, gets to 46.5. I'll be in on an over here for San Francisco and Green Bay, because this is a really good matchup, I think, for both offenses. But at the end of the day, the difference for me and why I do think that Green Bay is going to win and cover this game, it's Aaron Rodgers, that offense, and the difference between him and Jimmy Garoppolo and how well they take care of the football, the Green Bay Packers do, in these sort of situations. Rams and Buccaneers, this one I can't wait to talk to Chris Andrews about in about 15, 20 minutes from now, because this is sitting on that key number. The South Point, if you remember, doesn't toggle the juice in any way whatsoever. So South Point right now on the screen, 2.5 with a total of 48. So that's a position to take when there's threes across the board. So I'm really curious, it seems at least, that there is some solid and smart support on the Los Angeles Rams catching 3 here against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, this team, right, in terms of the Buccaneers, dealing with a lot of injury issues. We already know about the wide receiver core. Tristan Wirfs, of course, is dealing with a lot in terms of his ankle injury. Him and Ryan Jensen are, quote, progressing nicely, according to Bruce Arians. But we had a Tom Pelissero report yesterday that said Tristan Wirfs a long shot to play, and Leonard Fournette, his status is up in the air. So now you're talking about cluster injuries, multiple offensive linemen injured, multiple wide receivers not available, running backs not available either for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you would think at some point you're not going to be able to overcome all of the injuries and absences that you're dealing with here at this point. But I also think, just from a matchup perspective, as we talked about this defense versus Tom Brady and this offense, the fact that Brady has had to throw it in 2 games on an average of 50 times per game, that they haven't been able to average more than 40 yards rushing per game in 2 of the contests against the Rams, that's going to be a pretty good matchup. But I think the other side of this for the Los Angeles Rams, and you know, I've mentioned this a couple of times, so I wanted to put some numbers behind this, right, in terms of, I've mentioned, you know, directional runs and the fact that the Rams like to run, you know, off tackle and outside, those outside zone runs. And if you look at Tampa Bay, on the surface, it's a really good rushing defense. But if you look at some of the other numbers for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from a defensive standpoint, you know, you can get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a couple of these big runs, specifically to the outside, right? For example, runs on the right end against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this season, they're 31st adjusted line yards per carry, according to Football Outsiders, over 6 at 6.17, right? Runs off a left tackle, right? They're 19th in terms of adjusted line yards, 4.5 yards per carry. So that's going to be, I think, something to watch for here in this Rams game. The Rams necessarily don't want to run up the middle and into the teeth of that defense. They want to get outside. And after that, They're going to start to use play action, and that's a really big reason why I think the Rams' two quarterbacks, Jared Goff last year and, of course, Matthew Stafford this year, were able to have success against the Buccaneers. So a fascinating matchup. Market seems to be on the side of the Rams here. Seem to have gotten the best number at catching three with Los Angeles, but we'll see what Chris Andrews has to say about where this is going to go. And then, of course, you get the big one. This Sunday, I keep wanting to say Sunday night, but unfortunately it is not. It is Sunday afternoon for us for the most part. Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills, this number sitting at 1.5 across the board right now. Total, not surprisingly, up from 53.5, as high as 54.5. What happens in the rematch? Patrick Mahomes, the first time around, was god-awful against the Buffalo Bills. They didn't blitz him a single time, but that has been one of the biggest improvements for Patrick Mahomes down the stretch here of the season. We showed you the numbers earlier in the week, weeks 14 through the wild card round. Patrick Mahomes completing 69.9% of his passes when he is not blitzed by defenses, right? And that's the last part of the season. He's been absolutely incredible. Compared to, by the way, the first part of the season where he was completing just 62% of his passes. Turnover-worthy play rate in those situations, again, when not being blitzed first part of the season, weeks 1 through 13. Turnover-worthy play rate of 3% last half of the year. That's not half. Weeks 14 through the wild card, only 2.3%. Mahomes has made strides in being patient when not being blitzed. And I think that this is a matchup that works in favor of Kansas City, especially, right, Tre'Davious White, not going to be available, was available the first time around. It's just a different game, and it's a different quarterback in the Kansas City Chiefs. Having said that, I don't think the defensive issues are fixed in any way whatsoever for Kansas City, so I'd agree with the market that this thing's going to be pretty high scoring. Josh Allen's average depth of target was like 11 or 12 yards downfield in that first game. It was crazy how often he was able to attack downfield, and not sure those issues are entirely fixed for the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, let's take our first break. On the other side, let's bring in Scott Kellen, professional handicapper, get his thoughts on all four matchups, where he's playing, what his best bets are, and then 15 minutes from there, we're going to talk with Chris Andrews, director of the South Point Sportsbook, get the bookmaker's perspective, what he's been seeing in the market, where the sharp money's at, and where he expects it to be by the time we get to kickoff.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's never too early to prepare for the big game, and we want to make sure VSiN is a part of your plans. We'll be with you throughout the playoffs, and then on championship weekend, we'll have 56 hours of free video coverage on VSiN.com leading up to our sixth annual live big game betcast. It's the biggest game of the year, so make plans now to join the VSiN betting experts before, during, and after the action on VSiN.com. All right, we're efforting Scott Kellen. We'll have him momentarily. Look. Divisional round is here, but as we have talked about throughout the week, and I know Matt Santos, who isn't here today, very excited at the fact that we have a very big UFC card coming up this weekend, so cannot wait to see what that has in store for us as well. The news of the day, for those who weren't with us earlier, running back Derrick Henry has been activated from IR. He's going to play in the divisional round Saturday versus the Bengals. In fact, he'll start the game for the Tennessee Titans. Not really worth much. Actually, I shouldn't say much. It's not worth anything to the point spread. Running backs, even as good as Derrick Henry, aren't worth anything, especially after an extended absence like he's had. With that, let's welcome in Scott Kellen at 6 Cents NFL up on Twitter. And Scott, let's start at the top of the rotation, and you can factor that news in as well. But Cincinnati and Tennessee, 3.5 has been the number solidly throughout the week with a total of 47.5. Sir, what's your analysis here?
Yeah, out of all four games, JBT, and happy Friday, this is probably the one where I have the least opinion on. My number is pretty much where this game is sitting. I'll just say this, you know, from a Cincinnati standpoint, when they played above average offensive defensive teams this year, lost by 3 against Green Bay, lost by 3 to San Francisco, beat Kansas City by 3. Now, all three of those games were at home. They're obviously going on the road here, but they have been very competitive against good teams, again, above average in offense and defense. Did defeat Tennessee last year, different team, obviously, 31-20. The part that would scare me with Tennessee and laying the points would really be, to me, they play a lot more conservative type ball. And you obviously have a little bit more variance with Cincinnati being a little bit more aggressive. That could obviously work for them or work against them. But looking back, since Tannehill got there, the only teams as a home favorite that Tannehill and Tennessee have beat by more than 4 points, Jacksonville, a Houston team that won four games, mm-hmm. the Bears, who did go to the playoffs last year, but not a great team, Detroit, Jacksonville again this year, Miami, bad spot for Miami, and they did beat Indianapolis by 9. So they haven't won by margin against real good teams, which just tells me they're probably going to play a close game here and laying points. You never know what you're going to get there. For me, it's a stay away. My numbers make it pretty much close to what the numbers are. Last point here, I think we know, but when they've been very healthy with Henry and Jones and Brown, 51% success rate passing versus 43% without those guys. So obviously a huge, huge difference with their offense when those guys are playing, which I think we all know, but can't be forgot as well.
It's a great point about the home results. And by the way, the Colts team that they beat by 9 points, missing a couple starting offensive linemen, and Carson Wentz coming off of that double ankle injury that he suffered in that game against the Rams at the beginning of the season. So still maybe a little bit of an asterisk next to that victory. All right, let's go to the Saturday night game, San Francisco and Green Bay. So this got to as high as 6, Scott. It's 5.5 now with a total of 47. I like Green Bay here, and I tend to think that this is going to be a higher scoring affair, but what do you say?
Yeah, I think it'll probably be higher scoring. You know, the real question I think here is who's going to play for Green Bay as far as these injured players, and then what are you going to get out of them? We got Bakhtiari probably going to play at left tackle, J.R. Alexander at cornerback. They got Josh Myers, their center back, earlier. They may get Za'Darius Smith back. Randall Cobb looks like he's going to play. If I said I'm going to get 80% of Bakhtiari and Alexander, I'd probably make this number 4. And about 49. If I get 100% of those guys, I'd probably make this closer to 6.5. And again, about 49 points, which would put us basically at the number. I will point this out. I mean, this could be a bad matchup for Green Bay, just given what San Francisco can do on the ground and whatnot. But San Francisco now going on the road for their third straight game, in playoff teams with a win percentage of less than 666, so not necessarily your best playoff teams, even though San Francisco's been very hot, but playing at least their third straight road game, are now just 4-25-2 against the spread in the playoffs. So this is a really bad spot for San Francisco. You know, those road trips just start to wear on the team. We don't know how healthy Garoppolo is going to be. Obviously did not look great in the second half last week. Was that because of the injury? But, you know, to his credit, Garoppolo now 10-3 against the spread as a road dog versus above average and defensive teams. So he has played well. I think that's more of the system with San Francisco and the other players around them. My numbers make it, you know, like I said, about 6. If I could find another team to tease, and unfortunately there are other teaser opportunities, but I don't really like them in a teaser, I would certainly play Green Bay in a teaser. At the end of the day, JVT, this is, to me, Rodgers against Garoppolo, and I just don't see Rodgers making a lot of mistakes. Last time I said that, of course, though, it was week one against Jameis Winston, and Rodgers threw 2 picks, and Winston didn't, so, you know, what do I know in regards to that? But I would definitely lean Green Bay, and if I could find a way to tease him, I would tease him as well.
All right, I like it. We'll move on to the next one then, Sunday, January 23rd. Actually, real quick, before we move on, give us this trend one more time. 3 straight road games for a playoff team, win percentage under 666. They're what?
4-25-2 against the spread.
Wow. That is not looking good for the San Francisco 49ers. And already have a quarterback that is a little squeamish with the ball. All right, Rams and Bucks. Now, this is an interesting number because it's like kind of toggling around this 3, right? But most of the shops right now have that 3 out there, but it's shaded to the dog side, Scott. I took 3 at -110 earlier in the week. I tend to think this is actually a sneaky good matchup for the Rams. This total, I don't really have a read on it, total of 48. But what do you make here between the Bucks and the Rams?
I'm going to play the Bucks. I've got value on the Bucks, but you know, to your point, I am a little bit worried about them. They've got some injuries, and it looks like Wirfs and Jensen might play now. But again, how healthy are they? Mm-hmm. You know, because that could be a bad matchup for them. So I'm going to play Tampa Bay just solely because my numbers give them some value. But I'm also playing the over here. Sean McVay now 10-3 to the over as a road dog. So, you know, when they're a road dog, in theory, they're the inferior team. So they're giving up points. They're certainly capable of scoring points. Those games have tended to go over this year. And then the Rams this year against good teams, 7 games that all totaled 51 or more points, including obviously 58 the first time they played, which was in L.A. That was a total of 55. So now we have a much lower total. It's a very reasonable total. They scored 51 here last year when these two played. And Tampa Bay as a home favorite with Brady against good teams, 51 versus the Rams last year. 60 against Dallas opening week this year, 60 against Buffalo. Yeah, it took overtime to get there. I make the number about 52, so I think we've got some value on the over. I will do that as well. And, you know, I don't know if the Rams will be able to run in Tampa Bay or not. We know how Tampa Bay can stuff the run a little bit, although maybe not as good late in the season. But if they do, that'll just lead to them throwing the ball a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I think we know Brady's going to throw the ball one way or the other.
Official report from NFL Network that the key players for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game time decisions, but also from NFL Network, Tom Pelissero, Tristan Wirfs, a long shot to play versus the Rams. So noise everywhere. All we know is that we won't know until kickoff. All right, last one on the board, big one, Kansas City and Buffalo, Scott. So what do you make of this? Opened as high as 2.5 in some shops, but we're 1.5 pretty much across the board with a total of 54.
I like the over here, JBT. I've got it at about 57 or so. Wow. Josh Allen as a quarterback, as a road dog, now 6-0 to the over. His games have totaled 62, 58, 62, 58, 60, and 54 points. Mahomes in playoffs is 7-point or less home favorites. They have basically scored in the 30s in each one of those games. Obviously 38-24 here last year in the championship game. They totaled 58 as Buffalo stomped all over them 38-20 earlier this year. In Buffalo versus good running teams, and I think KC can run the ball pretty well here, they've allowed success rates of 59, 65%, 57% in that Kansas City game. Now, they won two of those three games despite giving up the running game a little bit. I think Kansas City will be able to run the ball on them a little bit. Hopefully that helps them in the passing game a little bit. And Kansas City versus winning teams this season, 54 or more points in 5 of the 8 games against winning teams. And the only games that really went under were the Green Bay game where they didn't have Rodgers, the Tennessee game where Tennessee was decimated at receiver, and then a Dallas game where they were hurting with no Amari Cooper. So there's been reasons that they didn't go over in those games. And I think you were saying earlier, the one thing about Buffalo, they're going to throw the ball down the field. You know, Josh Allen reminded me of Brett Favre and some of those throws last week. He can make up, you know, also get 22 yards by taking about 4 sprints, running the ball as well. They're going to move the ball. They like to throw the ball. I think both these teams are going to be able to score plenty of points in this game despite the high total.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. At Sixth Sense NFL up on Twitter, Scott Kellen. Scott, it's good to talk to you, man. Thank you for the time and good luck this weekend.
All right, you guys as well. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Again, Scott Kellen, Sixth Sense NFL, has been with us throughout the NFL season. I'm sure we'll be back next Friday for a Football Friday as we, of course, approach conference championship weekend. All right, on the other side, Chris Andrews, director of the South Point Sportsbook, is going to join us. I will discuss all these games from a bookmaker's perspective. We'll see where we're going to head on a lot of these numbers, both side and total. Cool thing about this weekend when it comes to a lot of these totals is that there's real no weather involved. It just seems like it's going to be a cold weekend for a lot of these games with nothing inclement that could alter the play that we'll see out there. So we'll get Chris's thoughts on that. With the big money has shown here, we know of at least one big wager that has come in during this week. We'll see if there's any more that has come across that counter right there here at the South Point Sportsbook.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you missed any part of our show or anything on the VSiN schedule today, don't forget to check out our free sports betting podcast. You can catch replays of all of our shows or download and listen on your schedule. Go to VSiN.com/podcast. You get Feeding the Book with Gail Alexander or Market Insights with Josh Applebaum. Plus, we've got Hardwood Handicappers. It's my podcast. New episode up today. Dieter Kurtenbach out of the Bay Area joins us. We talk a little 49ers, but mostly Golden State Warriors and how poorly that's gone over the last month and a half. Also, Lombardi Line, Follow the Money, My Guys in the Desert, Coast to Coast Hoops, and many more. All free and available now. VSiN.com/podcasts. All right. Let us welcome in Chris Andrews, who found some time to come on over in studio. We will forgive the Nevada Polo. It's fine. We know about that.
They're playing tonight.
They are.
I try to wear a shirt with the times.
That's a good point. That's fair. That's very fair. Okay. Now, and Nevada.
Spent a lot of years in Reno.
I'm also a little jaded just because Nevada was like one of my teams that was like, hey, man, look out. They're going to be really good. And then AJ Brahma, it seemed like he was a nightmare and they lost 4 straight at the beginning of the year. But they're a little better now.
Got a ways to go.
Yeah. All right. Well, we don't have a ways to go in the NFL season. We're at the divisional round. We're at the Elite Eight, and this is going to get whittled down to 4. So let's talk a little bit. First off, just how the week's been, because Jimmy's posted tickets left to right. He's coming in here with some big wagers. And what's interesting is it's both sides of a game that's on a key number, which is Tampa Bay and Los Angeles.
Well, that's the one game we're sweating the 3, but we're not really sweating either side on that game. And I got to tell you, JVT, you look at it, are not way out on anything. I mean, it's the action has been unbelievable this week. You know, I got guys betting me $20,000-$30,000 on totals. I know Jimmy's brought in a couple $100,000 tickets on each side on some of the games. You know, so, I mean, the action has been as good as I can remember. And it's been pretty much two-way on most of the games.
So where you guys are at here, because I'm pretty fascinated by this Rams-Bucks game.
Yeah.
And you guys are like, you don't move the juice. So you're the lone 2.5 out there at this point, pretty much on the screen. So what do we read into that in terms of where you're at as a book? Because to have a lone 2.5 and a number like that where it's like three altered juice everywhere else, it seems somewhat telling.
Well, it's telling because when we were three, we were the only three with no juice on the three. And we, you know, I got, I'm not going to tell you exactly how much, but we got more than a few bets into six figures, but really on both sides. But, you know, these guys are not dumb. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's three, they're going to take the three at -110. We're 2.5. They're going to lay the 2.5. The other thing is I've also got quite a bit of money on the money line, on Tampa money line, -$1.45. So there's some certain thresholds. And like I said, these guys, you know, guys ask you, who are the sharps on? Well, what's the price?
Right.
What number? You know, I mean, you know, it's, they're not laying three and they're not taking 2.5. I can tell you that.
That's my favorite thing about Sundays throughout the regular season where you get the sharp reports. And it's like, yeah, they're on that side like 4 points ago.
Right? Yeah.
Not exactly at this point right now. Right.
And I do that article for VSiN. I try to break down the numbers. Here's what they're playing at this number. Mm-hmm. You know, and they all make a difference. Just trying to educate people out there.
Well, what do you think about that, Matt? I like the Rams. I took three with L.A. I think matchup-wise are pretty good. The injuries are obviously a question mark for the Bucs and Brady, but I think the Rams are kind of like they sneaky. What they can do well, they go bother Brady and the Bucs.
You know, JVT, I've been doing this for a long time. I came here in 79, and one thing that I've noticed over the years is when you get to this point of season, a lot of it is a war of attrition.
Yep.
You know, now that doesn't happen 100% of the time, but right now the injuries on the Tampa Bay front line look to be pretty bad. Now everybody says, well, they got Tom Brady. Well, you know, Tom's won 7 Super Bowls, but there's like, what, 13 that he hasn't won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think right now the matchup does greatly favor the Rams. But, you know, it's a football game. There's a lot of stuff can happen in this. So I do think the matchup favors them. But, I mean, would I be surprised if Tampa Bay won them? Not at all.
I made the point Tom Brady won his most recent Super Bowl because the team they played had nobody across the offensive line, right?
Well, I think that's the exact situation here because, you know, when you look at that last Super Bowl, you know, kind of coming into it, you know, Kansas City's missing both their tackles. Yep. Well, I mean, and you could just see through the game. If you ever watch it again, you know, Mahomes was pressured the whole game. They could not play their offense the way they'd played most of the season. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen to Brady this week or not. I have a feeling it might.
So let's stay with Sunday then, the big one, Buffalo and Kansas City. So when we talked to you opening line Sunday, you opened a little high on the market. You were 2.5 in favor of Kansas City. So what's the action been like here in terms of Buffalo, Kansas City? It seems the market is a little high on Buffalo.
Yeah, definitely high on Buffalo. Yeah, they took the 2.5 off me, took the 2. I also got some pretty decent money line play on Buffalo. But, you know, JVT, you don't have to go out and beg for Kansas City money. So I got money the other way. It's not like I said at the beginning of this segment, I'm not really strung out on any game. So they have bet Buffalo, money that I respect, but it's not like I'm devoid of Kansas City money. I got some of that, too. But I have to respect the play. And I'll tell you, as I go look back, my personal evaluation, really good quarterbacks have had a lot of success against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the defense now is healthier than it's been all season. I guess that's part of the handicap. How do you judge that? Do you look now that their defense is that much better, or do you look at the fact that good quarterbacks have had a lot of success against that defense? And that's what makes horse racing.
Well, I think there's a lot of factors here, both defensively. One, Tre'Davious White got hurt on Thanksgiving. Right, best corner for the Bills, who's not going to be out there. He was in Week 5. And Melvin Ingram wasn't on that team in Week 5 for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he has been. And he's made a big difference for them defensively.
Yeah.
And then the other side is we were running some of the numbers. You should see night and day, like the numbers. Patrick Mahomes, when teams don't blitz him, right, versus like the first 13 weeks of the season versus the last 8, he's been crazy in terms of what he's been able to do. 13 plus 8 is 21, so that doesn't exactly make sense, but you know what I'm saying.
No, and I think if, you know, there's always a lot of factors involved, but I would tell you that the guys that bet me Buffalo are pretty sharp, and I do have, you know, I think the public is on them too, so it kind of depends on how you weigh it. And if you look at that first Kansas City-Buffalo game, there's a lot that went right for Buffalo in that game and a lot that went wrong for Kansas City. So
I was talking about with humans. Remember, it looked like the Chiefs were maybe going to claw their way in, and then there was that roughing the passer penalty on an interception that Josh Allen threw. They were only down by like 10, and it looked like they were going to get the ball back at the end of the third quarter, and then nope.
I don't quite remember it as well as you do.
Steel trap.
Okay, yeah, good for you.
So, all right, let's go. I could talk about the game forever, but we have a limited amount of time with you. Cincinnati, Tennessee. Seems like the most boring game on the board, but some shops are saying it's actually their second highest handled game of the weekend. What have you seen?
Well, I've seen a lot of handle on it. I don't know if it's second highest. I mean, definitely the Tampa is number one. I'd say Green Bay's a little bit more. But, you know, we opened three. I thought that was a good number. Mm-hmm. You know, we know Derrick Henry's coming back, but I had some question marks in my mind as to how effective he'll be. Well, evidently the market thinks that he'll be very effective because they laid the three. Now, once again, you talked about us being the only minus 110, which a lot of guys had minus three at 110. Yeah. But when we went to 3.5, we were the only 3.5 at 110, and they poured in and took the 3.5 off me. Now that's pretty much the market price. So even that game, even though I took a pretty big whack minus the three, I'm in pretty good shape there because being the first to go to 3.5 at minus 110, we got some pretty decent money back the other way. Of course, I don't want that game to come three either. So that's just the way we do it here at South Point.
Do you think it's going to stay at 3.5? Do you think there's a couple shops that are shading the 3.5 to 115?
I know some fours have shown. I think there was a four at the Circa earlier this week and got scooped up. I think if the fours show up again, I think the wise guys will come in and take the plus four.
So I figured. All right, then San Francisco, Green Bay, then here. So we saw this get to six earlier in the week.
Yeah.
I would assume, but you could tell me, part of that is probably the injury situation. We get the report in the middle of the week. Oh, wait, Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulders are a little banged up. We don't know what's happened with the two defenders, but all three of them are going to be available, and lo and behold, we're back to 5.5. So it pretty much sums it up.
That sums it up well. Yeah, we opened 5.5. They laid it to me. I went to six. I kind of felt as the market did. I thought those injuries were really impactful for San Francisco coming off a short week. We know the weather is going to be bad up there. I know they're not a Southern California team, but they are a California team. And I don't know who's comfortable playing in 0-degree weather.
Right.
But I thought that would really hurt them. But then when all those guys got healthy, they came in and they grabbed the six, and they grabbed it with a vengeance, I can tell you that. So if they kick off right now, I would need the Packers. But JVT, you don't have to go begging for Packer money in this market. There's plenty of Packer money out there, too.
Last 90 seconds with you. So of the four games, three of them are with a half point of the opening total. The one that's moved the most is Cincy and Tennessee. Well, what's did anything stick out from a total action standpoint?
You know, JVT is one of – we've – taking such big action on totals both ways. I mean, we're taking some pretty big numbers. Like I said earlier, I got $20,000, $30,000 bets on these totals, and we're not far out of whack on anything. I mean, just, you know, we're looking for numbers to not fall, but, you know, the action's been great, and the public will come in on the overs on most of these games. Yep. Probably definitely on the Kansas City game, which will be the last game in the rotation, but we took a pretty big bet under 55, but I have a feeling by post time I might be rooting for that guy.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. I like it. By the way, too, if you look at some of these games in terms of where we have moved and where they're at, none of them weather-wise have anything to worry about, really. So it's just
well, going to be cold in Green Bay, but I mean that's a headline for January. I mean, probably not.
Right.
No.
All right, Chris Andrews at Andrews Sports. Good to talk to you. I appreciate the time. As
my
always,
pleasure.
You're a busy
pleasure.
Man. You're a busy man at a busy time.
So. Yeah, well, yeah, it's always fun though talking to you. It really is.
All right, I like it. Hopefully the bosses are listening. And Andrews Sports up on Twitter. We'll come back. We wrap up the show. We get best bets. So a little bit of NBA. We send you off into the weekend with that on the other side.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's Edge here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Best bets are brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. Fresh way to enjoy nicotine without all the baggage of cigarettes, dip, or vape. No more smelling like an ashtray. No more spit cups, no batteries to charge or leaky equipment to deal with. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and available in 10 varieties like spearmint, wintergreen, citrus, and many more. And for your convenience, each variety comes in 10 strengths, so you can easily find the satisfaction level that's perfect for you. Zyn, America's number one nicotine pouch, is available in over 100,000 locations nationwide, and it's never been easier to find your Zyn. So head on over to Zyn.com/find. Locate a store near you. That is ZYN.com/find. Warning, product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Best bets as we head off into the weekend. First up, National Football League. Three plays for me as we head into the divisional round of the NFL season. The first two we've talked about throughout the weekend. You know exactly what they are. Green Bay Packers -5 added earlier in the week against the San Francisco 49ers, and taking that three with the Los Angeles Rams, who will be on the road taking on, of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The addition for me in terms of best bets is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs laying the 1.5 against the Buffalo Bills. I am really curious to see where this number ends up. I don't think it'll get as low as pick, so I'll lay it now, -1.5. I was going to sit around and see and get greedy and say, yeah, you know what, whatever, 1.5, 2, it doesn't really matter. But ultimately, I'll lay 1.5. You know, number can fall in two. It's very rare, but we'll see what happens. Regardless, I believe in the turnaround here that Patrick Mahomes has shown, especially when we're talking about situations when he's not getting blitzed, being a little bit more patient. The difference in these two defenses, personnel-wise, two key defenders, Tre'Davious White not being there for the Buffalo Bills, of course, Ingram being there for the Kansas City Chiefs. Think the Chiefs are in a little bit of the better spot here at home, and the Bills coming off of that immaculate performance against the New England Patriots. So Packers -5, Rams +3, Chiefs -1.5 for the divisional round. That leads us into, remember too, by the way, that Matt Eumanns also laid 2.5 for the matchup between those two, and 2.5 against the Rams. Sorry, I had a really big brain fart there. That was weird, huh? Yeah. Bucks laid the 2.5. Matt Eumanns did. So we are head-to-head in that. With that, NBA plays for today, for Friday, two of them. Look, this is kind of the nerdy part in me when it comes to looking at some of these numbers and stats and what you can look at and how you can analyze certain amount of these teams. Thunder +9.5, taking on the Charlotte Hornets. How about this? This is a pretty interesting nugget here, and it's bigger than this from a matchup standpoint. But regardless, so if you look over the last, we'll call it, I think it's 20 games or so, but since December 20th, the Charlotte Hornets have been the third best defensive team in the NBA. Defensive rating over that stretch of 106.6, it's been absolutely great. A really good turnaround, especially when you consider that in the 32 games prior to that, they were dead last in defensive efficiency. So they've literally gone from worst to first over the span of the last month. But there's maybe some fraudulence underneath those numbers for the Charlotte Hornets. If you look at a neat little trend, a neat little stat that according to Glass has, or Cleaning the Glass has, if you look at what essentially the quality of shot that the Charlotte Hornets have given up, if you factor in the quality of the shot the Hornets have allowed during the defensive surge, they would rank 29th in effective field goal percentage had their opponent shot the league average from each location. So, in other words, there is some luck on this defensive run from the Charlotte Hornets. Now, I'm not banking on that ending tonight. I just think this is a pretty good matchup for the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder, as we know, have been a pretty good cover team all year long. The Thunder lead the league in drives to the basket. The Thunder take the 12th most shots within 4 feet of the basket. Of course, the Charlotte Hornets give up a lot within 4 feet of the basket, both frequency of attempts and shooting. So, I think this is just one where it's a pretty big number. Market has moved in that direction. Circus as low as 8.5 right now. But it just seems that I think at 9.5 for the Thunder team taking on a somewhat, maybe, overvalued Charlotte Hornets team, especially on the defensive end, it's a pretty solid number. And then you get the Wizards taking on the Toronto Raptors. This is going to be an interesting and fun matchup because this opened 1.5 in favor of Washington, has steadily made its way to pick. And Washington's really not in good straits at this point. Last eight games are 1-7 against the spread. Despite being 4-4 straight up in those eight games, it just tells you that the market's perception on Washington has been super high, right? They've been laying some pretty big numbers against some lesser opponents. The market hasn't really factored in that it's not the same team that started the year 10-3. But this, I think, is starting to turn here. Now I think we're starting to get into the buy-low territory for Washington. First up, from an opponent standpoint, it's not like Toronto comes in as world beaters. They're 2-4 straight up, 1-4-1 against the spread in their last six games. If you look at the way that they play the Toronto Raptors, if from an offensive standpoint, they don't attack the rim. They're a perimeter-oriented, a jump-shot-oriented team in terms of how they generate their offense. If you're going to beat the Wizards, it's by exploiting one of the worst rim defenses in the NBA, and the Toronto Raptors aren't going to do that. Now, on the flip side, relatively solid defense for the Washington Wizards, a really rock-solid transition defense, one of the ways that the Toronto Raptors are going to score here. So we're starting to see the market kind of come back here in Washington. A couple spots flashed one. Right now, before we came back for best bets, one shop flashed 1.5, and it's still on the screen. And that moved in the last 10 minutes, but we haven't seen any update in terms of injury. So that's something to keep an eye on. But buy low and against the market buy there on the Washington Wizards. So Thunder plus 9.5, Wizards pick for the NBA tonight. Now, it leads us to the bigger part of the card, which is all of the games, and there's a lot to go on here in a lot of these matchups, but we'll focus on two, namely, because I think they're pretty fascinating. The first, which would be Brooklyn and San Antonio. So right now on the screen, this is down to pick in a couple of spots, 1, 1.5, depending on where you look. Total 227.5. So keep an eye on those injury reports, as this is a really solid move in the last few minutes that has changed what we're looking at with this game. And I want to make sure I didn't miss anything here. Let's see. Paul Millsap, Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, Nick Claxton, DeAndre Bembry on the latest injury report. So seems like there's a move here in favor of San Antonio. But this is what makes this pretty interesting, right? The market's been moving against the Brooklyn Nets in a really strong way the last few games without Kevin Durant, right? Showing real no belief against Washington, for example, right? The Wizards were favored in that game. But you look at this and you're starting to see the offensive output now that you were expecting from James Harden and Kyrie Irving. Through these few games that they have been together now, Brooklyn, 119.2 offensive rating when those two are on the floor together. You throw Patty Mills into the equation with them. They're outscoring opponents by 14.2 points per 100 possessions. So that offense is really starting to pick up here for the Nets with James Harden and Kyrie Irving on the floor. And you get San Antonio, who, while defensively, they held the Thunder and the Clippers to under a point per possession recently. Those are two of the worst offenses in the NBA. On the other side, you get matchups with Phoenix, Cleveland, and New York, in which the Spurs were blitzed and posted a defensive rating of 112.1 or worse. So while you can see the Spurs taking advantage of the Brooklyn Nets defensively, you know, if Kyrie Irving and James Harden are going to play today, and again, this number move to a pick is pretty interesting. It seems that there would be an injury, but I haven't seen anything in terms of an update yet that there would be somebody missing. But if there isn't, the Nets might be in this stretch where they're being a little undervalued by the market. Market moved against them in that Washington game, ultimately didn't work out, and maybe it might burn the market here. And then just from a fascinating narrative-driven standpoint, what in the world do you do with the Los Angeles Lakers tonight, who are starting an East Coast trip in Orlando against the Magic? We get reports that, of course, we saw that Russell Westbrook got benched the other night. We get reports that Frank Vogel's job is being monitored on a day-to-day basis for some reason. There is now a report that comes out today that the Rockets are willing to trade John Wall to the Lakers for Russell Westbrook and a little bit of draft compensation to then ultimately buy him out. And Wall would maybe fit a little bit better with what the Lakers want to do. It's just, from an off-court standpoint, it is incredible to see what the Lakers are going to bring to the table here tonight against the Orlando Magic. This overnight line was 6 with a number of 220. We're down to 5, and the total's down to 217.5 or 217. Thing is, since losing Anthony Davis, defense hasn't been good for the Lakers. 116.4 defensive rating on display when they lost to the Indiana Pacers the other night, gave up essentially 1.5 per possession in the fourth quarter. So you have poor defense. You get drama. You get volatility when it comes to the lineups because Russell Westbrook wasn't closing out the game against the Pacers, and Frank Vogel's messing with things and saying he only wants to put the guys out there who are going to put him in the best position to win. This is just theater at this point right now for the Lakers. You can also understand why the market's moving in the direction of the Orlando Magic, just given how poor the Lakers have been defensively and what's going on with this team in terms of off-court noise and whatnot. So an update on that number again, down a point and down about 3 points on the total. So since we have time, I wanted to point out one more game here on the board because there is quite a bit, I think, at least, of interest in this game, and that's going to be one of the primetime games. Chicago on the road against Milwaukee. Bucks 8.5-point favorite at the open with a total of 226. Right now, we're looking at 10.5 or 11 in favor of the Bucks. Bucks finally healthy. Haven't really resulted in a lot of consistency for Milwaukee, though, right? They're 3-6 straight up and against the spread their last 9 games. Offense has been an inefficient mess. But if there was a spot to get right, and it seems the market agrees with this, it could be here against Chicago. Defensive efficiency over the last 18 games at 115.9 for the Bulls. Backcourt rotation is a mess. Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine out with injury. We got the report yesterday that Ball, of course, is going to be out for the foreseeable future with a procedure that he has to undergo. And then, of course, it's DeMar DeRozan all by himself essentially operating this offense. Don't really know if you can trust DeMar DeRozan to pull it off again in a one-man show. Did it against Cleveland, but it's a little bit of a different beast when you're talking about a Bucks team that is finally fully healthy. Yeah, but, again, these were kind of injuries and absences that we knew about for the Chicago Bulls, but the market's still reacting in a really strong way off of the overnight line from 8.5 all the way up to 10.5 and 11 for the Milwaukee Bucks. I would expect that 11's probably the peak in terms of what we see from this number. Man, but if the Bulls could pull this off, My DeMar DeRozan, 66-1 ticket to win MVP, looks better and better every single day. It was brilliant against the Cleveland Cavaliers the other day. I might start my shameless campaigning. I might wait a week before I start shamelessly campaigning for all my future tickets that I have in the NBA. I have the power. All right, that does it for us here on The Edge. Make sure to go to VSiN.com. Check out all of the coverage we have in terms of written work, everything for the divisional weekend, and the coverage that we have. Make sure, of course, to get ready for the big game with us as well. My guys in the desert coming up next. We'll see you.